morning, church. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened here. But my, looks like my iPad is going to die on me just now, and all my notes are on there. I don't know what happened. I had 70% battery life, and I'm looking now, sitting on 11%. But thank God for technology, because I was sitting there and I emailed it to my phone quickly. So if the one goes off, I'll go to the other one. So that's awesome. So thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to share this morning. And as Tony was saying and Des was saying and Cindy was saying about taking ground, we're in this series called Taking Ground. And I'm going to talk about Joshua 4 today. Pam, if you can put the first one up. It says, Taking Ground, Joshua 4. I don't know, how many of you this morning walked in and noticed by the stairs there's this pile of stones? Huh? Did you guys notice it? Okay, some of you haven't. So what did, there was a piece of paper stuck to it. What did it say on there? What are these stones? I think, Bob, thank you for asking me. I'm going to tell you what these stones are for. But before we get there, if you could open your Bibles or your whatever you're using to read from, to Joshua 4. And I'm not going to read the whole passage of Scripture. I'm just going to take out what I thought was what God wants me to share with you this morning. Cindy asked that I'm going to have very little time, so I'm going to read this, I'm going to share, and then we're going to go. Awesome. Okay, Joshua 4. Is everybody there? While you're there, while you're getting there, just a quick bit of a background. Week number one in the series, Erwin was sharing about Joshua the man. We heard about Joshua the man. And then Tony gave us a rundown, a bit of a historical background of the book of Joshua and where did it come from, where they're heading. And then Tim was sharing about being strong and courageous. It's going to require taking ground. It's going to be, you're going to require to be strong and courageous. And then Tony shared again about faith. It's going to take faith to breaking ground, to take ground for God in our lives and as a church. It's going to take faith. And then Daniel was sharing about unity in the community of the church. And unity happens through love, love for one another, love for God, and love for the lost. And then last week we heard Keith sharing about crossing the uncrossable river. He coined a new word, uncrossable. Remember, he still said he doesn't know if that's a word or not, but anyway, I'm also going to use that word this weekend, this morning, so I hope Keith doesn't mind that I'm using his word that he's created, and maybe one that will be in a dictionary. We'll see it, the uncrossable. Okay, cool. Are you all then, at your Bibles open? And we're going to read, I'm going to read from the screen before this thing goes dead. So, we're reading from Joshua 4, verse 4 to 7. And then we'll take it up from verse 19 to verse 24. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan River was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan was cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to these people of Israel forever. The next one, Pam. Verse 19. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones that they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea, when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Amen. So in that passage of Scripture there's two things: purpose and instruction. There's two things that God has given us in those passages. There's a purpose, why they had to build the stones, and instruction. Well, if you read that, I don't have to explain much. Cindy said I must keep it short, so let's all go for tea and coffee. It's done. It says there. Purpose is, what did it have to do? It had to remind us of what God did. Instruction, tell your children about it. Tell the next generation about it. But I'm going to show you the next clip quickly. Who knows those memorials, mementos, or do any of you know the first one left top corner? Sorry? Nelson's monument. Where is it? Trafalgar Square in London. The one on the right of it, or your left of it? Where? Arc of Triumph. And Paris, the one underneath left? Your right? What is it? Titus Arc. Arc of Titus, Titus Arc. And then obviously, I think most of you know the other one in the corner. That's Nelson Mandela. It's just outside at Howick. So as humans, throughout history, we have created memorials, we have created monuments to remind ourselves of what people have done, what they've achieved, what nations have done, what they've achieved. For some reason, we have a need to be reminded of where we have come from, what people have done, so that we can build on that and move forward. So the same is with God. It's just a pity with God, sometimes we forget about these memorials. We forget about these signs and symbols that He's given us to remind us. God doesn't need to be reminded about how great, how awesome, how powerful He is. But God knows our hearts. God knows that we often forget what He's done in our lives. So He has given us some memorials to remind us, or monuments to remind us about, or symbols or signs to remind us about what He has done. It was customary to set up some sort of stone monument in Bible days. It was customary to, when God did something amazing, incredible, people used to build stone monuments, stone memorials, to remember what God, or to honor God through those stone memorials or monuments. The monument would serve several purposes, but the primary purpose of that monument was to remember, first of all, that God is able and He's willing to save and deliver His people. That's primarily, and it's to remind us that God is able, He's willing, God is Jehovah Jireh, He's our provider, He's our healer, He's awesome, He's great. It reminds us of all those things. And then through the centuries, God gave us signs and symbols and memorials and mementos, monuments to remind us of Him. For instance, Noah. Who, if I say to you Noah, what comes to mind? Other than the flood and the ark? Rainbow. And what does the rainbow remind us of? We had a song we used to sing as kids. Whenever you see a rainbow, remember, God loves you. So the rainbow represents God's love. God gave Noah the rainbow so that whenever he sees a rainbow, you remember God loves His people. For us today, whenever you see a rainbow, remember that God loves you. He loves His people. He loves His creation. And then God gave Abraham and the Jews circumcision. Why? Why did He do that? To show, second, set them apart, their chosen nation, and the covenant that He had made with them. So the circumcision was a sign, a symbol that God made a covenant, He's chosen them, set aside, and that He's made a covenant with them. God gave Miriam poetry to commemorate the Red Sea, the crossing of the Red Sea. Remember, she wrote that long song where she gave God glory and praise Him. Then God gave the ark. What was in the ark? It was the law, manna. That's it, manna. And the law. What did they represent? It represents God's provisioning, continuing provisioning. Then God gave us the tabernacle or the temple. What did that represent? The temple in Jerusalem. What did that represent? God's presence. God's dwelling. God, Emmanuel, God with us. God amongst His people. Then He gave us the cross and the empty tomb. And the empty tomb as historic statements of His love and His grace. And then from there we heard this morning again from the table, He gave us the cross and the empty tomb as historic statement of His love. God gave Himself a human form, incarnated, and became the crucified, the resurrected Lord Jesus of us all. We had the communion table this morning. What does that remind us of? It helps us to look back towards the cross of God's love and grace. It reminds us about that. But it also helps us to look forward to the marriage of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb one day. That's a hope that we have when we come to the communion table. So God took these things and He gave it to us to remind us, to help us remember what He's done, what He is capable of, and what He can, will, and still going to do. So it's for us, not for Him. It's just for us to encourage us to stay focused. So this morning, it brings us back to this passage of Scripture. You can go to the next one, Pam. Taking ground, Joshua 4. What are these stones? When I first read that passage of Scripture, obviously those two passages jumped out at me. And I was thinking to myself, well, you know what? That is it. It says the purpose is to remind us of God. The instruction is to tell our kids, what more do I need to say about this? Let's pack up, let's go have tea and coffee and go home. But as I read this, more things became clearer. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. Those stones don't just represent stones or just memories of God or what He has done. But those stones represent other things for us as well today. What does those stones mean for us today, so many thousands of years later? How do we apply that passage of Scripture to today? How do we make it part of our lives? So that's what I want to share with you this morning. There's five things I want to share with you. So, time-wise, I'm going to have to go through them. I'm not going to spend much time on them. But there's five things that these stones represent or resembles or shows us. So the first one, it shows that God has been faithful. The first thing that these stones represent or show us or reminds us that God has been faithful. God is always faithful. He says He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. He wants to be close to us. He wants to be part of our lives. And God is faithful to His promises. He promised Moses that He will take the Israelites into the promised land. And God is standing on His promise here. He's faithful. That's why they've erected that memorial stones, or stone memorial, is to remind them that God is faithful to His promise. God won't just take the Israelite children out of Egypt, out of slavery, and leave them on the banks of the Jordan River in full flood just to die. No, God is faithful to His promises. He took them into the inheritance that He promised. What God began, God is willing and able to complete. Hence, Philippians 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Until the day of Christ Jesus. He was faithful with the Israelites and seeing them into the promised land. He stood on, you know what's so amazing about that passage? We've got an awesome promise in there. That if you've given your life to Jesus, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, there's a promise for you that you can know that He who started a good work in you will carry it unto completion. Isn't that an awesome promise that we can stand on? So, God is faithful to His people. I asked Pam to share a bit of church history with me. Well, I knew a lot of it, but I wanted to know specifically about difficult times in the church. Now, often we hear about the good things and that, but we don't hear about the difficult times. So, I'm not focused on the negative side of this thing. I will show you now why I wanted to know about this difficult site, part of the church. So bear in mind that he who started the good work will see it to fulfillment, to completion. So bear that. Just keep it in the back of your head. So Pam shared this with me. She said, at the very beginning of the life of Crossways Church in 1988, when it was still in the pioneering stages, there wasn't any leaders coming to the fore. There wasn't leaders standing up and saying, come, let me help, let me do this, let me do that. I know from my own experience in full-time ministry, leaders play a huge role in the life of the church. To do it on your own, you guys have now had a taste of what it feels like. It's not easy. It's difficult. It's a lonely place if you don't have leaders that you can lean into and ask for support and prayer and help and whatever. It's a very difficult place to be. So I can understand when Pam said, in those years, it was a difficult time. When the church really boomed in the late 90s, I think Pam said there was about 200 people average on a Sunday, over 200 people. That's a lot, eh? God has done great things. I remember when we came to this church, Danelle and Tian, my kids, were the only kids there. We used to still sit at the back there, and they were the only kids. We prayed about it. And there was a boom in this church of kids. Families with kids came here. Moms and dads fell pregnant. There was a boom of children in this church. Thank God, he who started the good work, today we still got a lot of kids in the church. It's not because of us. It's because of God is faithful to his promises. So in the late 90s, the church was booming, over 200 people on a Sunday. And suddenly came a year, 1998, when people were moving away. They were either going overseas or they were transferred to other parts of the country. So it left a void, left a vacuum in the church. And leaders left. So leaders of youth ministry, leaders of men's ministry, leaders of worship team. These were critical parts of the church. These leaders have left for whatever reason. God took them overseas, God moved them out of town or whatever. So these key leaders left, and passivity sits in the church. Sits in the church. With passivity comes, you know what? We're just gonna ride this boat. We're just going to carry on floating and see where we're going. It's a difficult time in the life of a church as well to move beyond passivity because people are not coming on board. And then at that same time, in order to encourage more participation, a once a month home church experiment was started with normal church on the other three Sundays. So three Sundays they had normal church, one Sunday they had the home church. The eldership were divided on this, and two elders resigned after the experiment has ended. Another difficult time. You know what? When your elders leave, people start asking questions. They're starting, what's going on here? Why is the leadership leaving? It's a difficult time. The same time, while all this was going on, Crossways Church moved into cross-cultural ministry, and that on its own was a spiritual difficulty on its own, to recognize, you know what, I remember Pam, Rob, I think Pam Wentworth and Doozy used to go to Mount Michael to meet with the Nduna there to get ground for Mount Michael Church. Don't you guys will remember this? And they used to go meet with meetings with the Nduna, and they will get there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and this guy will only see 10, the chief, and he will only see them when he's ready, and sometimes it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they had to sit there the whole day waiting by the gate for this chief to come and see them. Or they had to go see him. I remember that. We had to pray about this. There were such spiritual things happening around it because we had to break ground into Mount Michael. It was a difficult time. We had to recognize, anticipate and recognize this spiritual thing that we're now facing all of a sudden. Again, concurrent with this, the next 3 years or so, a large number of families, I think this was from the Zulu congregation plan, that moved to Howick. From here. Okay, a large group of families moved from here to Howick. They were in their late 60s or when they wanted to be around their people and their own area, whatever. Again, this was a difficult time. 2009. Very difficult time. Rob, who was the full-time pastor, fell ill. Eventually, he was booked off for 18 months on sick leave. And then later, he was boarded. Like, I love what Pam wrote here. I want to read this. Pam said, in 2009, Rob, the full-time minister person, took ill and was booked off for 18 months before being permanently boarded. Not altogether a bad thing for the church, as it caused more participation. Here's the amazing thing. No one left during that time, during that period. How amazing is that? Your lead pastor is falling ill. He's not there. People in the church started, what we're doing now, started participating. Nobody left the church. You know what that tells me? That the church is built on Jesus, not on man. I've often seen or heard of churches where pastors leave and the church is full. It's because the church is built on man and not on Jesus. It's a great testimony for this church because God is faithful. Then came a transition period where new ministers had to take the place of Rob, full-time ministers. So even in transition, this is very difficult. You guys know that Paul and I was co-pastors and then I left. Paul took over as full-time pastor here. He left in the early 2017. And even then, it caused a very difficult time in the life of this church. So why am I sharing this with you? Oh, very recently, Doozy. Doozy decided that he's going to resign. He's not going to be in ministry anymore. And he was the Zulu pastor from 1999. Very long time. Again, a very, very difficult period in the life of this church. So why am I sharing this with you? Because I'm going to tell you, God is faithful. God has been faithful for over 20, 30 years in the life of this church. He who started, who began the good works in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who started the ministry in this church will see it through. Guess what, guys? 20, 30, almost 30 years later, Crossroads is still here. Crossroads is still going. Why? Not because of us. Because God is faithful. So when you look at those stones, when you walk out here afterwards, you look at it, remember, God is faithful. He's kept this church going because He started the good work. Not us. So the second point I want to bring to your attention this morning is God's power is on display. So when you look at the stones, we saw it this morning. Let me first read the passage of Scripture. It says Psalm 44 verse 1 to 8. It says the following. O God, we have heard it with our own ears. Our ancestors have told us of all you did in their day, in days long ago. You drove out the pagan nations by your power and gave all the land to our ancestors. You crushed their enemies and set our ancestors free. They did not conquer the land with their swords. It was not their own strong arm that gave them victory. It was your right hand and strong arm and the blinding light from your face that helped them. For you love them. You are my King and my God. You command victories for Israel. Only by your power can we push back our enemies. Only in your name can we trample our foes. I do not trust in my bow. I do not count on my sword to save me. You are the one who gives us the victory over our enemies. You disgrace those who hate us. Oh God, we give you glory. We give glory to you all day long and constantly praise your name. Interlude. That's where it stopped. So every time the Israelites looked at the stones, every time they spoke of those stones, or the stones of memorials, they were reminded that there is absolutely nothing that God cannot do. Last week we heard Keith share about crossing the uncrossable river. Can you just imagine many, many years ago, I think it's 1987 or 1989, I was in primary school, I was in boarding school in Tuba Tuba in Zululand. And I don't know if you guys know about the floods that took place there in that time. I was in a hostel there. We were stranded for months. I couldn't go home. I don't know if you guys know the Mfolozi Bridge. That bridge was gone underwater. It's high. It's high, and we stood on the banks when this flood came down. Let me tell you, it's a scary thing when you hear that noise. So I can imagine what these guys were feeling when they stood on the banks of the Jordan River and they saw God stop the water flow. And they realized that there's absolutely nothing that God cannot do. He can even stop an unstoppable river, uncrossable river, like Keith says. Every time that you pull into this parking lot and you see a stone on it, I want you to remember 20, 30 years ago, this was an empty building, an old empty building. Today, God's power is manifested in this building. We saw this morning God's power through the gifts of tongue, the interpretation of tongue, visions. God's power is manifested in this place. It's on display. Years ago, before we left, there was a couple in the church that couldn't have a baby. They had a son, but they couldn't have another baby for whatever reason. They've tried everything. And one day, they were sitting here and they said, the mom said that, you know what? I'm going to put my trust in God. I'm going to come forward. Her and her husband and the son came forward. Rob, myself, Gerald, Paul, and the elders laid hands on her. We prayed for her. Months later, they had a baby girl who they called Faith. Her second name was Faith. How amazing is that? God's power is manifested here, and it's on display. The key is, as long as we continue to make this monument, this stone memorial, as long as we make this all about God and His power, we will continue to see His powerful manifestation in this church. He has to be put in the middle, not us. The third thing, so it's God's, the stone represents God's power on display. The third thing I want to share with you is that it's all about God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about anything or anyone else. It's all about God. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." Seeing that rock pile and hearing the stories, the people of Israel knew that they couldn't cross that Jordan River on their own. It was God who helped them. He's the one who took them over the Jordan River. And every time they see those stones, the stones cry out to them, God did this. The stones are crying. They're reminded, God did this. By His hand, we have crossed over the uncrossable river. And today's context, we overcame this river by God's hand, not by ourselves. It's about God. By His power and His faithfulness, He has accomplished this. God has done this. We're in the series called Breaking Ground or Taking Ground. And as we gain ground, as we move forward and as a church or on an individual basis, remember this taking ground is not just for the church. It's on an individual level as well. You need to take ground in your life, in your family's life. So as we take ground as a church and on an individual basis, let us remember that it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says Lord Almighty. So it's by God. He's the one who's going to help us take ground. It's Him that's going to cause us to take ground in our personal lives, in our family's lives, in our friends' lives, in this church's life. He's the one that's going to do it, not us. We are mere vessels in His hands. Every step that we take, every inch of ground that we take from here on spiritual ground, God has to be in the center of that. Otherwise, we're not going to get far. It's all about God. It's all about God. The fourth thing that these stones shows us is that with God, change is needed. With God, change is needed. If you think of your water baptism, I always have this picture where it says that when you go under the water, you come out, the old is gone and the new has come. The old you is dead and the new you is coming out of the water. So with God, change is needed. We need to change. If we want to move forward with God, if we want to take ground with God, He is going to call us to change. Hebrews 11, verse 1. You all know this passage of scripture. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I love the way that the Message Bible puts it. The fundamental fact of the existence is that this truth in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the rest, the crowd. It is so powerful. The stones out of the Jordan mark the moments of God's involvement amongst his movement, amongst his people. They testify of the willingness of the people to change. Remember, they were wandering in the desert for 40 years. Now God is taking them over into the promised land. They have learned so many things while they were in the desert. But now that they're going into the promise, they're going to have to learn new things. They're going to have to let the old things stay in the desert and die in the desert and let new things come up that God has called them to do. The challenge and the question for us today is, as we are taking ground in our own lives, in the life of this church, are we prepared to let the old things go? Are we prepared to let it die in the desert and allow God to do new things in us and through us and in this church? It's a big challenge for us but that's one that we have to take up if we want to do what God, if we want to take ground. It's going to take, Tony shared about faith. It's going to take faith for us to take ground, to let the all go. Because you know what? We don't know what's lying ahead. We cannot see what's lying ahead. Now, faith is, we just read it, faith is the confidence of what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. We don't know what's lying ahead. God knows what's lying ahead. We're going to have to take the step of faith. We're going to have to change. In my life, if I have to do something, if I want to take ground, and God reveals to me things that I need to let go of, let it die, I've got lots of things that need to die. I've got lots of baggage that I'm carrying at the moment. Those things will have to die if I want God to take ground in my life. In this church's life, the church has come through a very troubled, very difficult time. Certain things God is going to call us as a church, as the leadership, as individuals, as whatever role you play in this church. He's going to ask you, let that go, because I'm about to do something new in your life and the life of this church. We're going to have, and it's going to take faith. We cannot see yet what God is going to do, but we believe He is faithful. It is time for us personally and corporately to venture with God into this future He has for us. And it's going to require faith. So change is inevitable. We're going to have to. There's certain things that's going to have to, we're going to have to let go. The last point I want to make is, if we go to the next, stones for the next generation. Those stones is stones of remembrance for the next generation. How do we do it? It's through testimonies. We heard this morning testimony. Des was sharing. Doug was sharing his testimony. We heard testimony about the baby. Everything is fine. Those are stones of remembrance for the next generation. In Joshua 4, verse 4 to 7 and 19 to 24, we read, in the future, when your children ask them, what do these stones mean? The instruction is, tell them. In verse 21, he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? What's the instruction? Tell them. How many of us are sharing testimonies with our kids? How many of us? I know I've fallen a little bit on the slack side with that area, but you know what? It is bad. We should be sharing testimonies with our kids. Now what, if you and your family, if you need to apply for a job or whatever, call the kids. Let us pray. God, if this is your will, when you get the job, call the kids back. God has answered our prayers. We need to share our testimonies with our kids at home and in church, as we've done this morning. I was so glad when you shared and the kids were still here. to hear that. I don't know how many of them paid attention, but maybe if you go home to after this, ask them that you hear the testimony. They need to know the testimonies. Why is that? Why is that so important for them to know testimonies? So that one day, when they come to stand face to face with the uncrossable river, they have testimonies to stand upon. They will remember, Mom and Dad shared this, and because they, or they prayed about this, or they brought this before God, because they've done this, God came through, because they did it, I can do it. As children, you know what, they don't have to be 18, 19, 20, 30 years old before they can do that. They are facing challenges as we speak today. If we share our testimonies with them, they can stand on our testimonies. They will know that God is faithful, that God is powerful, that God is with them. And they can stand on the stones of our testimonies and say and be strong and courageous. That can only happen if we as a church share testimonies. As you as an individual, moms and dads, grands and grandpas, aunts and uncles. You know what? In this church, we're a family. Your child is my spiritual child. I can tell him about testimonies that God has done in my life. It will build them up. So when they face their own uncrossable rivers, they've got stones of testimonies to stand upon. And the devil will not have a hold on them at all. Because they will say, you know what? My God is greater than you. They will be able to do it strong. They will be strong and they will be courageous. In closing, by the way, why did God choose 12 men from 12 different tribes? Why didn't he just say, take 12 men out of Benjamin and take the stones out? Why didn't he just say, take 12 men out of the half tribe of Manasseh? Why did he say, take one from each tribe? Do you know? Well, I've read commentaries of explanations, and I love this explanation of it. It's so that God's goodness can be spread throughout the Israelite family. Because remember, the Israelites were split. Some tribes were stayed this side of the Jordan, other tribes went into the Jordan, into Canaan, the promised land. So if God only used the tribe of Manasseh, half tribe of Manasseh, who stayed this side, only they would have done the whole remembrance thing, and only they would have remembered what God had done. But God chose one out of each tribe, so that everybody in the Israelite family could tell their children about what God has done. In closing, each man from the 12 tribes had to carry a stone. This stone resembles testimonies. Each man, each individual had to carry, or those men, they represent individuals. It represents you, it represents me. You have a testimony. I have a testimony. Everybody in this room this morning, if you're a born again Jesus believer, you have a testimony. My question is, are we sharing that testimony with people? If we want to gain ground, if we want to take ground in our own lives, in the life of this church, we need to share our testimonies. You have a personal testimony. Your testimony is so powerful that it says in Revelation 12 verse 11, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. This translation is their testimony. Or word of their testimony. Some translation just says their testimony. By the word of their testimony, they have beaten Satan. They have overcome him by the word of their testimony. Your testimony is powerful. Mine is powerful. There is no such thing as a no powerful or too small testimony. Are we sharing our testimonies with people? Are we sharing it with our families, our brothers, our sisters, our moms and our dads? Taking ground will mean testing our faith. It will mean facing what seems to be uncrossable rivers. But we will overcome them if we stand individually and as a church on our testimonies. So those stones represent our testimonies in the whole. And you know what? God is faithful. God is powerful. God is with us. It's going to require change. And we need to share our testimonies with our children. That's the only way that we're going to have to be able to take ground going forward. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Pamela, can we play that song? Okay, I've got a song that I want to play. The song is very special to me. When I was going through a tough time, I don't know how I came across the song, because you cannot get it anywhere. It's only on YouTube. It's only on YouTube. I don't think she's ever made a CD. I'm not too sure. But listen to the words of the song. And then after that, I just want to close in prayer. She sings, "My God is calling you. Don't harden your heart. God is calling us to something new. Don't harden your heart." You know what? He's faithful. He is powerful. He's with us. It's going to take change. It's going to take faith. And you know what? You've got a powerful testimony. Let's soften our hearts to where God is leading us. Amen. Let me just pray. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that you are faithful. I want to thank you that you are powerful. I want to thank you that you are with us. Father, I want to thank you that in you we can have the most amazing faith that's unexplainable to the world. Father, I pray, I thank you for our testimonies that we have. I pray, Father, that you will give us the courage, the insight to share it with our children. Help us to be faithful. You said in Deuteronomy that we need to share everything you are doing, have done, still doing with our children. Whether we're sleeping, whether we're going to bed, whether we cross the street, doesn't matter where we are. We need to seize every opportunity to tell our children about how great you are. Father, give us the reminders, the insight to do this for our children. Father, I thank you that this church is on the brink of taking ground into something new that you are calling us to. Father, I pray that if there's anything that we need to leave behind as church, as individuals, Father, that you will reveal it to us. Help us to put it behind us, leave it in the desert so it can die in the desert, so we can walk into what you are calling us to do. In your wonderful, precious name, thank you for your love. In Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Amen.
Thanks, Lord. Thanks so much. Tea and coffee on the veranda. In the closing there, it was quite remarkable, because my closing verse, as encouragement to you, is going to be from Philippians 1:6, which is, and I'm sure of this, we are confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Bless you all.